Okay, we're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, top of the page. Hakolin, Parak Rishon Hakolin, 4a. So it says, Kuzbara. Kuzbarta is coriander. Ma ben Yehuda ben Gala. What's the difference between Judea and Galilee? So in other words, let's go back to the Mishnah for a second. Okay, let's go back to Aleph Amud Aleph. Because this is a point which I just assumed a certain shot, but it turns out that some people have another way of looking at it. Can you imagine that? So the Mishnah in the beginning said that it listed a bunch of kalin shavadamai, and then it says it'll be Yehuda. In Yehuda, you could be makel about certain things. So it mentioned three things: ha'og, chaimetz, and kuzbar. It mentioned three things. So when I learned the Mishnah, I thought the pshat is. But, you know, there's a besides the things in the Reisha, which would also be true in Yehuda there's an additional three things that were unique to Yehuda. And we spoke out even a whole thing, which we're going to see in the Gemara now, that the reason why Chaimetz was an exception in Yehuda was because in those days, in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, Chaimetz normally comes from wine, and because it was a miracle, because Yehuda was supplying the wine from the Nesachim, so their wine never spoiled, and therefore they had to make the vinegar from Temed, and because it was made from Temed, it wasn't Choshev, and that's why it was Kalan Shabbat Mai only, so that's why it was only unique to Yehuda. But the other things in the Mishnah, you're not raising your hand, right? No, I didn't think so. Just making sure. So that's what I thought the pshat in the Mishnah was. Lo and behold, so when the Gemara asks a question, Ma ben Yehuda ben Begolo, I guess I missed it. The Gemara asked it before on Gimel and Beis when we were talking about fennel yesterday. The Gemara again asked, Ma ben Yehuda ben Begolo, right? Now, Guftin is in the Reisha, right? So, what was the Gemara's kasha? Ma ben Yehuda legal. Obviously, it was not included in Yehuda. So that means we have a new pshat in the Mishnah, which is that Yehuda not doesn't is only those three in Yehuda, but no others. And so the Gemara, but I think it's very difficult to say that. I mean, the reasons behind it are, it's either a Davar Hefker, or it's not a Davar Hefker. I didn't think this was, you know, I just found it very funny.
It could depend on, you know, if there are a lot of rich people there, or there are a lot of poor people, that these things are chashuv to them.
Yeah. I don't know, Yehuda I would think would be a more prestigious place to live.
You can't go by
their names. No, you can't go by their names. Anyway, so it turns out that in the, I think it's in the Mishnah, was it? One second. It says it someplace over here. Yeah, it's in footnote 13 on 1a2, is where he says the Gemara below 3b4a states that the Mishnah means to draw two distinctions between Judea and Galilee. A, the last three species were generally hefker in Yehuda, but were cultivated in Galilee. And B, conversely, the first eight species were hefker in Galilee, but cultivated in Yehuda and Judea. So over there, the Gemara does not learn the way I learned the Mishnah. I thought the Mishnah was just adding three additions to the Kalan Shabbat Mai in Yehuda. But from the questions of the Gemara, it seems not like that, because the Gemara is saying, the Gemara asked the question about Guftin, what's the difference between Yehuda and Galilee? So it bothers me, though. Why did the Gemara pick only Guftin to ask that kasha? Well, he asked it on Guftin. What about all the rest of the things in the Mishnah? Anyway, then he says that the Rambam, Maaser 13.1, makes no distinction between Judea and the Galilee. He doesn't even list all the species mentioned in the Mishnah. As Einish explains, since the species are exempt from the mind because they're presumably hefker, which depends on the prevailing circumstances, so there's no difference, right? So what's the point of pointing out a place and a location? And a, what's the whole point here, this Mishnah? The Rambam is taking...
The structure of the Mishnah
it's a point in time, the Mishnah. Why bother with it? You know, it's like very difficult.
In other words, give the klolev.
And we know, and we,
and
that's what the Rambam's doing. The Rambam just takes a simple approach. If it's hefker, it's potter. If it's kalin, if it's not hefker, then it's not kalin. But certainly, this we have to focus on it though, because the Gemara here is asking the same kasha it asked on the base, ma ben Yehuda ben Begol. So it spoke about fennel. Now we're speaking about coriander.
But the fact that the Mishnah structured it this way. Teaches us that. In other words, the fact that in different locations they were assessed in different ways shows you that it's subjective. That's all. That's the structure of the Mishnah. It's teaching you it's subjective.
Yeah, but the Gemara is saying very, very clearly that it is not, in Gola, this is not considered a Kal. So the Gemara is going to say, in Ma de Masin Leb Masal V'Droima, in the south, which is Judea, they have this mushal, kuzbaro kuzbartom man maselach im tavlaya. It's like a nice rhyme, right? Coriander, coriander, who associated you with the spices? So, in other words, you're not even spice; you're garbage. You know, something like that, kind of like a crass way of saying it. It's basically saying it's you don't have, you're like nothing, right? So this tells us by Golo Chayeves, but in Golo it's going to be Chayev in Trumas and Maisos, because they don't have this attitude about coriander. They feel it's actually Shomer, right? Well, Yehuda Patura. All right.
But that's opposite from what we
said in the Mishnah. I mean, it's clear in the Gemara that there are distinctions here. Yeah. I mean, I was fine with it. The fact that the three in Yehuda that are mentioned are in Yehuda only, that's Pashup Shat in the Mishnah. What I missed was that the question that we asked yesterday on Gufnin, that was in the Reisha. The Gemara only asked on that case, and so therefore we have this, you know, gray area as to what exactly, whether it's the whole Reisha or whether it's just specific ones. Okay, let's go on. Tony, I'm Rabbi Yehuda. He's going to say the famous story. Why was it Chaimus in the beginning, originally when the temple, when it was the Beis HaMikdash? They made the wine for the wine libations. It would never scour. It was like a nace. So therefore, if they wanted to have vinegar, they made it from temet, which is, you take, some peels, some grapes, or maybe some pits, and you put some water in it, and you let it soak for a couple of days. Then you take the water out, then it has a taste. So that's called temet. And that temet would turn to vinegar. That's what they did. And that's why it was partner from my Machmetz. But now in the post, you know, based on Mikdash, there's Mekharov, unfortunately, and there's no more Nesachim. Now the wine continues to sour. And now the vinegar, the chaimetz, is chayev in maishas, because it came from something which was chayev in maishas, namely the wine. Miklafashi tosi Rabbi Yehuda. This is the opposite. The brayos of before is opposite of Rabbi Yehuda's shita. The sin taman. Mishnah where in maishas parakei Mishnah vav. I'm a samed. If you make temed from wine sediment before it had maishas taken from it. So v'nos and mayim, you know, you pour in a volume of water. You say you pour in a quart of water, right? You pour a quart of water into the sediment, and then motza kedemi doso, and then you take out, you know, a day later or 3 days later, whatever it is, you take out the water, and you're left with, you only have a quart of water in, a quart of water out. So it's kedemi doso, exactly the same amount. So then potter, so the Tanakama, I guess, says what? That you're potter from meiser because it's water. Your water is not chayav from meiser, and it picked up a little bit of taste, but it's not significant enough to be mechayav anything with any meiser. Rabbi Yehuda mechayav. Rabbi Yehuda says no. Rabbi Yehuda says that obviously he holds the metzias is that the water got absorbed into the peels, and some of the peel came out into the water, and therefore we have something that's put actual taste mamashas into it, and therefore it is chayav ma'isras. So if it's chayav ma'isras, you obviously hold that it's chashav, right? If it's chashav, you have to give trumas ma'isras. Now that's not going to be like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, right? Why is it not like our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah says.
Our Mishnah says it has to be.
Our Mishnah, 1 second. You're making, 1 second.
According to review, is wine in the water, and therefore you gotta give Mishnah.
What was this Mishnah talking about on time based on Mikdash? Hold on a second.
Question on Rabbi Yehuda.
Right, so it's a question. It's a
stira
on Rabbi Yehuda.
How is it a stira? It's exactly like we're saying.
No, it's a question on Rabbi Yehuda.
Why is it a question? I just realized I don't understand the question. We just finished saying.
Here we're saying he's got to give mitzvah because his temed Rabbi Yehuda says chayv.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm making a basic mistake. Oh yeah, you're right. I'm focused on the chametz. I'm thinking. I just had a sandwich. That's why there's, you know, it messes up your mind. Okay. Before we were assuming that the only way they could get chametz was by going to Temet, and therefore it wasn't chayev and mice just because it was in the group of Kalan Shavu Demai. I'm sorry. Right. That changed later because now we're getting a different source for the chametz. But the original assumption was that Temed was Potter from Maisras. And in this Brisa, he clearly says that Temed is Chayav in Maisras. It's a simple stira. Okay, sorry about that. Wow. But Kol Omer Hochein, and here he's saying this, right? Omer Reb Law, so Reb Law says, I'll give you a yeshiv to the contradiction. Bori Shaina, when there was a Beis HaMikdash, Ho Yuan Novim Merubois. You had lots of grapes, I guess there were plentiful grapes, it was like a bracha Mitsuya in the Anovim, for lo hayu chatzanim chashuvos, and therefore, grape seeds were not of value. They were hefker, and temed from them was therefore potter from maisers, because the source of temed is the grape seeds. Va'achrav shein anovim merubas. Now we don't have as many grapes, so now the seeds of the grapes now become more valuable. As a result, it becomes chayav in Maisras. So that Mishnah from Maisras, which says Hamasamed, Rabbi Yehuda holds chayav, that's going to be
nowadays.
Correct. All right. Now, the Gemara is not going to show that this is going to be a stira to Rish Lakish. Again, let's remind ourselves the Machlokas, Rish Lakish and Rabbi Yehuda. This is one of those machlokes in which the Gemara likes to keep coming back to again and again and again. So this is the third time we're getting it. So Rabbi Yochanan said the reason why the Kalan Shabbat Meyer Potter is because they came from Hefker. Rish Lakish said no, the reason why they're Potter is because the Amoratzim were taking Maisers from them anyway because they're cheap. But if you know the Nafkamina was again, if you knew for sure that it was not taken according to Rish Lakish, it would be chayev, according to Rabbi Yochanan, it would be potter. So now this Gemara, this brisa we just quoted is a stira, right? Rav Huna Amar Rabbi Yirmi Yabai, less hadopliga al Rav Shimon Lakish. Doesn't this brisa contradict Rish Lakish? Why? Because it says that the Chaimet Shabbat Yehuda is one of the Kalan Shabbat Demai. Even though we know for sure they had not taken Mises from it. That's what he's asking. What's the question? Let's see 19. I'm not 100% clear on this. The Brisa quotes from Yehuda saying that vinegar from Yehuda is potter, which means that vinegar is completely exempt. Even if it is definite, Tevel, because we said what? We said that the seeds are hefker. They have no chashivas whatsoever. So that's the point. The point is, if it has no chashivas whatsoever, that means it's vadai potter from, it's not a sofik. It's vadai potter from tevel, from maestras. That's like Rabbi Yochanan said. The Kal Shabbat Mai, he said, is vadai potter, because it's all hefker. Whereas Rish Lakish said, it's not that it's vadai potter, it's that they were taking maestras from it. But here we're saying that the temed was came from seeds which was not chashiv, and therefore it was definitely hefker and not chayiv and maestras. That's a steer to Rish Lakish. Right. So the Gemara leaves that as a kasha. Okay. You could read it the other way. You know, we're reading it like a bit miyah. Les hadah plegal arib shim min lakish. Isn't this a steer to Rish Lakish? And that's the way we were masked with the Gemara. But if you learn it as a statement, les hadah plegal Rish Lakish. This doesn't argue with Rish Lakish. There's apparently others who learn that way. I didn't look it up, but apparently Pnei Moshe apparently learns it that way. Want to take a look? Let's take a look. Quick look at Pnei Moshe. Les hadah plegal arib shim min lakish. Let's take a look. It's the far left bottom of the page. Al hadah kama Rabbi Yehuda bar Sisa chusam in marime shikmakai. Oh, it's not even going on temet. He's learning the Gemara. It's not even talking about temet. It's talking about marime shikma. Rish Lakish halkan bazaka harayv. Okay, I don't want to get involved in this right now. Okay, let's keep going. Maybe we'll come back to it if we have time. The yirbu kol harim and arime shikma. Now, what does it say? It says again going back to the Mishnah. Yehuda, the third thing? No, the Rabbi Yehuda and the end of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says Rabbi Yehuda aimer kol hashisim peturais. And then it says, Chol harim in peturim, all these thorn jujubes, whatever they are, however you read that, are potter. Chutz me rime shikmoina. The rime shikmoina are going to be chayef, right? They're going to be chayef, because I guess they were chashev in that place, right? So the Gemara doesn't understand something over here. How many rimen are there in Shikmona after all? Let's take a look at the whole world. This is like the Gemara here is assuming global enterprise, like, you know, it's a new thing, the global, you know, economy, right? Here the Gemara is assuming there's a global economy for these rimen. So just because Shikmona, which is this little shtetl, has chashev a rimen where people watch it, but those rimen are getting out to other markets, and there are other markets, outside markets, that are coming into to Shikma, so then Shikmona, whatever you want to call it. So why don't you give us a rov? That's the question of the Gemara.
What's a rov of the type that are there?
The Gemara. So, are you trying to answer the question?
I'm just trying to see what rov here would be.
The rov, you've got the whole world. The whole world, we're saying all Riemen are putter, an exempt from Maestras. Then you've got this one area called Shikmona where they're chayav in Maestras. The Gemara is asking, let the small minority of Riemen be bottled from the Klapei Leganza Welt. At first blush, this question makes no sense, right?
Absolutely.
Because we're talking about
subjective.
We're talking about we're in Shikmona. What are you telling me about Riemen that are in Japan? Well, I'm right here in Shikmona, and they are chashev here. So what's the kasha of the Gemara? So okay, let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. The Gemara, I thought it was. If you look in 21, he says the Gemara assumes this ruling applies even to fruits that grew in Shikmona, but were exported to markets outside the town. So the Gemara, right? You see that in 21?
Yep.
So the Gemara is making an assumption in the question that we're not just talking about locally in the Shikmona market. We're talking about, I'm sitting in Tel Aviv, and I've got here a tray. It says, Rime Shikmona. So it's Gemara saying, Rime Shikmona, Chayev and Maestras. The Gemara is saying, what do you mean? Why is it? Why is it chayav and maestras? Let it be batel barov.
Is it that mixed in with others?
So that's the question. So, do you know? Do you know that these are Rimei Shekmona, or are these just Rimin, and it generically, the assumption the Gemara makes in the question, that Rimei Shekmona would be Chayev and Maisers outside Shekmona, what kind of assumption is that? What are you talking about? Does it have a label on it that it says it came from Shekmona? Then there's no Rove. We know it came from Shekmona. So what are you asking? This was very difficult. I was learning it last night. We were really struggling with the Gemara over here. I'm going to tell you the pshat that I said in just a second. So Amar B'Yaisi, Tifta B'Makam, now we're on 4B, Tifta B'Makam Sharov Mishamin. Let's interpret the Mishnah. We're talking about a place, duh, we're talking about a place where most of the people are guarding it. Yeshikayach, that's the way we understood the Gemara. That's the way we understood the Mishnah the whole time.
Guarding it, and it's not Shekmona.
No, it is Shekmona.
So what's the chiddush
then? So what are you adding to it? What was the shock of a tie of the Gemara? What happened over here? So I'm going to tell you what let's keep going. The Gemara even goes further. Rabbi Yosef Rabbon Boy, Vein Kol Holom Kulo Lefanov. Is not the entire world before him? What's the kasha? Why must the purchaser assume that the Rimei Shekmona that he's obtaining in Shekmona were grown there? Doesn't the vast majority originate outside of Shekmona? In other words, aren't there lots of other sources for this plant? Let it be Potter. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. So what is the Gemara? What's going on in this Gemara? So I wanted to title like this. This is a Shvar Gemara. Let's take a look at Riemann as a min. What is the taich in this min? Is this min a min hashomor? In other words, do you look at the min and say, is this guarded normally? It's not normally guarded. So if Shekmona Riemann came from Shekmona and came into Tel Aviv, but no one watches it here, this thing has no hashivas here. The min itself has no hashivas because no one watches it. So what do I care that they watch it, 100 miles south? I don't care what they do over there. Here, no, this is a piece of garbage. This is a piece of hefker. I can get this any field. I can walk into it. So what do I care that somebody down south watched it? That was the kasha of the Gemara. The Gemara thought in the Havamina that when it says Rimei Shekmona, that since they guarded in Shekmona, so Mele Yechayev, even if it goes outside of Shekmona, meaning Taka when I know it's from Shekmona. I know it's from Shekmona. The Gemara did not understand what sense does that make. If right here this has no Hashivas, it's like Hefker over here. The status of Hefker. That's what I mean.
Going in the other direction? If you bring him in from out of Shekmona and they're in Shekmona, do they now become...
Oh, you're asking an interesting question. Now, if right, so if they come from outside Shekmona, so why wouldn't that be... how come it doesn't work two ways? Maybe that's the shock of a tie of the Gemara. Maybe that's
who
what...
Because there it's valuable. They could get good bucks.
They get better price for it.
Then it's hashu. So then the whole theory is...
You're right. I really don't have a good shot over here. This is a very difficult Gemara. Yeah. Okay.
But the bottom line is that the Rov Olam, it's Chashuv.
Rov HaOlam, it's not Chashuv.
So why do you have to take Marseh?
Only in Shekmona. Rabbi Huda the Mishnah I'm talking about. The call harimonim turin chutz mi rimoni shekmona, which are chayev.
Yeah.
That's what it says in the Mishnah.
Yeah.
Right. The Gemara doesn't understand why it's not bottled in the Rove. The Gemara blaim shver. The Gemara has a kasha. I wouldn't draw conclusions from a kasha that the Gemara is slugging up the Mishnah. I don't know. I mean, maybe you could kind of. That's the time of the Tanakama, then argue on Rabbi Yehuda. I don't know. Okay. It's something to work on, okay? You have your homework. Next Mishnah, Halacha Beis. Hadamai Ein L'Chaymesh. Now we're going to have certain kulas in Demai. So normally we're talking about Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni, when you're poyter, you normally have to be Maaser B'chaimesh. So this, the Dmai, if it's Dmai, there's a Kula, you don't have to be Maaser B'chaimesh. The Inlo Biyur, there's no Din of Biyur, meaning the third year before Pesach, you're supposed to be in Vayar, Kol Mashav B'ayis, all Maaseris and stuff. So that doesn't apply to Dmai. Menechal Oine, meaning, that doesn't apply to Dmai, meaning if I was Mafresh Maaseris from Dmai, that I don't have to be in Vayar, that Maaser that I was Mafresh from the Dmai before the third Pesach. Menechal Oine, person is Mafresh Maaser Sheni, Lo Achalti Bo'ini Mimenu, it says you're not allowed to eat it as an oinein. So it could be eaten if it's Maaser Sheni from Dmai. Next is Yerushalayim B'yaitzin. Now here we have a big kula. Normally the rule is with Maaser Sheni produce, it's kolate. The walls of Yerushalayim are kolate the tefuah. As soon as it goes in, it can't go out. And that's the end of it. But this can go out, and it can even be redeemed after it goes out. You don't know this. It says here may be redeemed. We're going to see it in Machlokas. You have a little leak in your snack bag, and some of the little pieces that keep falling out of the snack bag. So normally you don't have to worry about that, but if it's Maaseris, you have to seal that. Make sure you're not ma'abed anything. You have to make sure it's also the kedusha of the thing. So here, a little bit gets lost, not a big deal. If you drop it on the floor, no, forget about it. Just leave it there. You can give it to Nama Aretz, but you have to eat the corresponding amount in Yerushalayim, meaning connected the amount that you gave the Amha Aretz. What's the pshat over here?
It's a form of pendant.
Let's see. It says here you can give the Maaser Sheni to Dmai to an Amha Aretz so that he will bring it to Jerusalem, meaning the Yochal means the Amha Aretz will eat it in Yerushalayim, apparently.
You don't have to be afraid that he was coming.
You know, you don't have to be afraid that he's Tomei. One second. Hold on one second. It's two things here. There's 12 and 13. Let's look at 12 first. The rabbis forbade giving the definite Maaser Sheni to Amha Aretz because he might eat it when he's Tomei. That's awesome. They were Mako when it comes to Maaser Sheni or Demai because it's possible that it's completely not Kodesh because maybe he was Mafresh, right? So it's also not certain that he'll eat the Maaser Sheni while he's Tomei. So it's a snake snaker, right? It's a suffix whether it's Maaser Sheni. In Imtum Slam, where it is Maaser Sheni, maybe the Amha Aretz won't eat it but Tomei. So Mitamza, you're allowed to give it to the Amha Aretz. Okay. And he also writes in the brackets, important note over here, that the Rambam holds it's only a small amount. And the Rambam therefore teaches Mi'uto means only a small amount of that when it says Ma'abdanes mi'uto b'drachim, it means it's like an introductory remark to the next thing that you're going to be ma'abed a little bit of it by giving it to Amha Aretz on the drachim. Okay. Let's see. And now in 13 it says if you give Maaser Sheni to Amha Aretz, you have to eat an equivalent amount of his own money as money Maaser Sheni, which has to be in Yerushalayim. Why do they have to do that? Because it says over here that they made this requirement to prevent people from taking advantage of this kula of giving the Maaser Sheni to Amha Aretz. So they made this kind of special din. There's apparently other pshatim over here. Okay, there's different pshatim over here. Then it says, you to deconsecrate silver coins on other silver coins. Normally, by Maaser Sheni money, you can't go to the same type of money. You can't go silver to silver. Nechoshes on nechoshes. You can do copper to copper. Normally, what does it say? I think you have to go, silver to copper? Is that how it goes? Or do you have to go copper to silver? You have to go copper to silver? Yeah. Anyway, kasef on nechoshes. Nechoshes al peiris, you can go from the silver, from the copper onto peiris. The yachzor v'yifta es ha peiris, and then you can redeem the peiros again, meaning there's a kula here that even though you transferred it, right, you started off with peiros, you transferred the kedusha to peiros to kesef, then you went from the kesef and you bought more peiros, and it's telling me that I can take those peiros and again transfer it to kesef again, right? So that's a big kula. Yaksav yif das a peiros. That's if you are not goris, the parentheses. Dear Meir. So Meir is saying a kula. No, once you've, they argue on the Meir, they hold once you've gotten to the stage where you've gone from the money to Paris, at that point, no, it doesn't go backwards again. That's like too far.
Does not become
Adkan.
Fungible token.
That's it. Adkan. Okay, call to Akatanach.
I don't know what happened to it. I lost it.
I didn't take it.